Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with this week's look at the non-league world. Back with me, a virtual Dave Anderson via the power of the internet. Welcome back, Dave.
Good evening.
It is a good evening. We not many guests this evening, I have to say, but I think everybody's in that sort of lockdown bank holiday mood, isn't it? I mean, another week of Anderson lockdown. How have Peroni sales been this week?
Well, I've tried to curb them a little bit. I've only had a drink on the nights we've had a quiz, which, to be fair, is like three or four nights a week. but yeah, I've still out doing the walk in the. Listen, footballers, golfers, fishermen, whatever you sport is, when there isn't a cloud in the sky, it's just breaking my heart, you know, that I can't be playing golf or going to watch a game. So we're all on that. But listen, I'm not sure when we'll all get to play football again or any sport, but at least we're going in the right direction as a nation. You know, we're hopefully over the peak of it. You know, so that's all. We just have to hang in there, mate.
And that's it. And we will have that opportunity to play something, and that's what we've got to remember. There's a big serious thing going on out there, and football is just a small part of the world.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, I thought Dean was good last week and, you know, always says what he wants to say and, you know, quite liked his opinion on stuff. Disagree with that. You know, me and him, we debate and we love each other's debate. But I thought he came across nice and calm with it. I did get a bit of stick off a couple of Wilson supporters for suggesting him for the Luton job. I have to tell you that, including Big T, the kit man who looks after me. But as I said to him, I'm only doing my job, and it was lighthearted, you know, but they weren't happy that I was putting their successful manager up for another job. But I just thought it was interesting to ask him. So it made me giggle, you know, that they don't hang about the Wilson fans when they've something to say to you, you know, but it was just interesting to have him. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll maybe do that with other managers, Tim, to see how they're getting through, you know, this unprecedented sort of period, you know.
Yeah, because it's very interesting because we don't know where we're heading, when we may play again. It's very difficult for any manager to put in place any plans, isn't it?
Yeah. Any plans, any players. I've spoken to a couple of managers who have quite settled squads, you know, and we're hoping to retain most of them for whenever we eventually get back to the game we all love. So I'd say that's what it's anybody that was thinking about having a clear out or a complete total turnaround or a new manager, that's going to be, how do you plan for that? You know, you can speak to as many players as you want now, but we all know people change their mind, and it's very difficult to tie players down at the best of times when you're trying to sign them. Never mind in this, you know, I always say they're waiting on the Man United call, you know, so that they hold off. But I suppose we have to try and plan, if only to keep ourselves sane as managers, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because this would have been the playoffs, really, this with the bank holiday weekend this weekend. And I know we're expecting nice weather. You've mentioned some blue sky. I think you've had more blue skies up there than I have down here on the coast. But this weekend would have been a massive feast of football in lovely weather. But I can't quite get my football mind to that stage of the year. In my mind, I'm still thinking about March weather because that was the last time we were at football.
Yeah, and I suppose everybody's in the same boat. We're just frozen time nearly, which is, you know, when you think back to what Dean said about completing the season, no matter when it is. But when we look at how things are moving along now, you know, I honestly don't think non-league football will be starting a new season in August. I just can't see it. I'd be amazed. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. So I don't know. We're just going to have to hold fire, deal with the reality of the situation. It is a sport. There is important things outside of it. And a bit like Dean said, he can't affect it. He's not worrying about it.
Yeah, and the football is a big thing. We want to go get back out there, watch some football, we're getting involved in some football. But I've said week on week that rather than arguing whether points per game is fairer or null and void in the season that was never was, football should be spending some time addressing some of the issues that help us enjoy football even more when we get back and underway. And it was good to see, you may not have seen, I think it came out today, that a new fund launched this week from the Football Foundation for clubs to get a grant to make sure their pitch preparations for the new season, whenever that's likely to be, can get done without money restricting too many choices. Because you can, I know, you know, people always say that the budget, playing budget, shouldn't be the important thing, but quite often, if money's going to be tight, the first thing that will get hit is reseeding or some vertical drainage on the pitch. And this is a way of football trying to make sure that when we do get playing football again, the pitches are going to be in the right sort of shape that we want them to be in.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant idea. And it is the first I've heard of it. And I think, I think you're spot on. I always find it strange that people want good football, but forget that to play good football, you need to have a good surface. So I think it's a great idea. It's something I think that the surfaces in general have improved over the last 20 years from the top football down into the lower parts of non-league. I think pitches are better than they used to be, and we don't want to take a backward step on that. So this is a great idea. The one thing I did want to say before you put that was, I thought Gordon Taylor's point about cutting the minutes down was a nonsense. You know, I'd rather not, saying that we might have to play less.
It's like saying, well, yeah, we can only have so many men on the field, so let's play a five-a-side. It's not the same game then, is it?
It's exactly, either play football or don't play football, but don't start making it a half an hour each way. Or we might as well have, I think it was somebody on Twitter said, might as well just have a penalty shootout. Do you know what I mean? Or Wembley, do you remember we used to play a game as kids where we're all individuals?
Yep.
And once you score, you're through to the next round. I think it was called Wembley, wasn't it?
Yep.
You might as well do that as opposed to cut down to 30 minutes. How can you then add that into this season? I don't know. I think it was ridiculous. I don't always agree with Simon Jordan, but I heard him on TalkSport saying, maybe it's time for someone else to come up with a few ideas. Gordon Taylor's been there for a long time. And I have to say, on this occasion, with that being one of his points, I absolutely agree with him. I think it's an absolute nonsense. It made me angry nearly. It made me angry that someone that's steeped in football as long as Gordon Taylor is would even think about coming up with that.
I think I'll steer clear of my discussions about Gordon Taylor. But I don't know if it's a sign of me getting older that I begin to agree more and more with Simon Jordan than I ever did in the past. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. One of the things that has been keeping me entertained since the lockdown, a number of long since retired non-league players have been posting clippings, photos, old programs in various Facebook groups and on Twitter, over the weeks. And again, if we're going to learn anything from this period of lockdown, I hope clubs are paying attention to the sheer joy that it's bringing, not only the players, the ex-players, managers talking about, you know, days of yore, but the fans as well. And it's just bringing everybody back together. So we talk about the e-programs and not having a physical program and go to a game anymore. And I talk to various chairmen about the value of the video, recording the games and getting that out there, marketing the club. And if nobody had been videoing games at non-league, I don't know what fans would be watching at the moment, because I think almost every club's put out every archive game that they've got at the moment in the last few weeks, just to try and keep people entertained. And we need to make sure that clubs embrace, you know, the little extra bits as well as the football on the field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. And, you know, I think that, like any situation like this, we tend to come out of it hopefully stronger and more passionate. But listen, the one thing it does for you, and, you know, I've retired from the game and that's fine, but when you go year after year after year, you know, it can take a lot out of you. As a supporter, a manager, a player, a board member, you know, it's repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. And you get to the end of the season, you go, if anybody shows me a ball in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to chin them. And then after three nights, you're going, how long is it until we're back pre-season? Because you get in that mood where you just miss it. And this is an extended break, a break that we didn't plan for. And all of a sudden, someone's taken our drug away. You know, someone's taken that thing away that is occupied us for the best majority of our lives. And when we come back, maybe we should remember how much we missed this bit, you know, and how, you know, and the other thing is reminiscence, what it's all about. You know, I don't care who you are as a football manager. You don't enjoy many games until they're over, or you don't enjoy, you know, you're a manager, so you have to be of a particular person in the dressing room where you can't really be one of the lads. You can get on with them, but when you leave them, or you leave the club, or you have meetings where you meet up, and I think about when I meet the Wimbledon lads or the Hendon lads, and it'll be the Churchy guys now as well. There are days that are priceless, and we've all found a few of these now with, as you say, the Facebook groups, and I've even got some back in Belfast of games like 30, 40 years ago, you know, so and really good, and caught up with a couple of people who I played with not far out of school, you know, so I think it's a real loving, and I hope we remember, you know, how deep it's ingrained in all of us, you know.
Yeah, and I know I've always enjoyed the tales that you tell, and I know listeners have as well. And I've heard lots of people talking about, you know, this is an opportunity for the world to reset itself, because we sort of suddenly become this really super fast-paced society, and including managers, the modern-day manager, you know.
Yeah.
We talk about players; they don't necessarily, you know, all go in the bar, and there's not that same camaraderie, because everybody's got other things to do, and everybody's trying to rush somewhere else. And we suddenly realise that actually rushing doesn't get you anywhere. Well, it certainly doesn't get you anywhere at the moment, unless you want to go down the M3, because you're probably the only one on there at the moment. But hopefully this will help evolve more of those stories in years to come.
Yes, and there's definitely a book there, or a couple of books there of dressing room stories and within leagues and sort of rivalries and friendships. And I had a great chat with Colin McBride, I'm going to say, last week. I don't know where I spoke about it on the radio, but just catching up, same thing, you know, how are you? You safe? You keeping all right? And just two of us roaring with laughter about different stories. And he told me one. He told me one where he'd tell me about this island in France where you can go, there's no cars, you can hire bikes, you know, and he says it's lovely, you know, it's just a real sort of, just a real lovely place to go quiet and that. And I said to him, like Colin's built like me, you know, we're not in the, we used to be athletes, but believe me, we're not now, you know. So he's a couple of pounds overweight, to say the least, as I can say that because I'm in the same boat. And he said, I was...
I'm not sure I want to be in the same boat with the two of you.
Yeah, it'd be a big boat, let me tell you. So he says, what, you riding a bike? He went, no, he says, you can get the ones with the, it's like there's a little battery on it, like it's battery operated, or, you know, where you pedal it for a bit and it recharges, and then when you go uphill, you can, I've never used one. But anyway, he's telling me about it. He says, brilliant. He says, is that good? When I came home, I bought one, because he lives down South Amway. And he says, since the Olympics and all that, a lot more people are into cycling, you know, with the Lycra and, you know, all the hat and the real shebang. And he said he was out in the back bits of where he lives. And he was on his little battery-powered bike. He says, now, it's hard for you to see where the battery is. It's quite well disguised. But he says, there's these guys cycling along with all the gear on. He says, and he's gone flying past them in a T-shirt and a pair of jeans, 4 stone overweight, on his phone. and they were going, well, I won't say his exact words, but they were going, how's that guy looking like that going past us? Because they couldn't see the little sort of engine bit on it, you know. But when McBride tells a story, believe me, well, you've been there many times, Graham. And I was in the hysterics. So it was good to catch up with him and talk about the club. And he was telling me a little bit about Easterick. You know, there's lots of questions marks over their existence, but I think they might end up having a relegation team to stay in business and in playing, you know. But I'm not going to ultimately confirm that, but that's sort of a couple of the stories that's going around that area. And sort of Carl was sort of tell me what he'd heard, you know.
Yeah, well, it's I'm sure there's going to be a number of clubs that are in that situation. That, you know, I know even with my own club, you're looking for revenue sources that you can create when you're not allowed to bring people through the gate. It's going to be lots of clubs that are going to be having to refocus, and hopefully we'll be able to stay in business. But I can see a reduced pyramid when we do manage to get football back up and running.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope not, but I have to say that there's a big chance that it will be. The one thing I did want to say is I think that the non-league paper have done an incredible job in the last few weeks, you know, I've found it as interesting as ever. And I know we're not in partnership with them, but we have someone and have them for years, you know, come on and tell us what's in the paper the weekend. But I doff my cap to them guys, because that must be a hard work team to put together a sports newspaper reporting on games when there isn't any.
Yeah, man, great credit to the team there, Matt and David and John, and because if you look around, almost all the local newspapers that will be covering non-league football, that they've furloughed their staff, so they're not. They're not putting any output at all, but the non-league paper's still there every Sunday on your doormat or on your tablet, as most people are currently subscribing digitally. And certainly every Sunday's a learning day.
It is now. It's been good. And just on that, you know, it's a sadder thing, but I did want to mention it, that they did a lovely piece about Pat Byrne, who was the president of Northwood Football Club, who I know quite well because he was also a member of my golf club, and I managed Northwood, as you know, and he unfortunately passed away with COVID-19. 81, sharp as a razor. Just a great, lovely warmth about him, Tim. You've met him, I'm sure you have. You know. And he had great, he could kill you with one sentence. He's one of them smiling assassins. You know, I'd come in and go say something to him, and he could nail you to the wall and you'd be in hysterics. You know, he's just so bright. You know, used to, on a Sunday at our golf club, the Sunday morning lads, the diehards, he was there present as well. And when it came to the prize money, he would always, if he was ever there, he would give it out, and he'd always tell a joke. And you used to think, oh, this is a hard company, you know, like 40 geezers to stand up and tell a joke. And every week he was there, he had the place in an uproar, you know. But I think it was Gavin Hart said, in who's an ex-centre forward at Northwood, summed them up perfectly. You know, he said, if you'd scored a hat-trick and been brilliant and the team had won 3-0, or you'd scored a hat-trick and they get beat 4-3, or whatever, you walk in, if you were getting too big for your boots, like Pat would say to you, or he said to Hardy, Gavin, could have done with you out there today, you know? Even though Gavin had played 90 minutes, you know? He's like, he just had a great, great way of cutting you down with a laugh, you know? So God bless him. And Northwood will be football club. And I know Ian Barry, I spoke to Ian personally. Ian rang me to tell me. And sad, real sad, sad news. But very difficult to stay sad when you talk about Pat Byrne, because he makes you smile, you know?
Yeah, that's sad news indeed. And that's that thing that non-league does create memories. And we don't want to rush back, because there's, you know, the implications of that. We'd love to get back and start creating some more non-league memories and embracing that non-league family again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And we'll keep trying to chip in once a week to sort of bore people to death for half an hour. But, you know, we'll hang in there for them, you know.
So time of the week again to head on over to virtual non-league paper tower. Welcome back to the non-league show. Senior writer at the non-league paper, David Richardson. Welcome back again, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Now, if we've been having slow weeks, I think this is, you know, one of the slowest weeks, even in close season, that we've had news-wise. We know the National League Board met again at the start of the week, and clubs appear to be in the majority against holding the playoffs, except those who would miss out. Obviously, they're in the playoffs; they've got a chance. They want to take part, but it's still all on hold, and still the decisions are made higher up in the pyramid, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Like you say, obviously the clubs have given their feedback to the National League. Who are maybe expecting the National League to give a decision as to whether they were going to play the playoffs or not. But they've decided to wait until the EFL have made a decision, which I think will be coming at some point next week. Obviously, what Boris Johnson says on Sunday, from the government's point of view on the lockdown and the steps moving forward, will have a say in that. But I think it's, you know, looking at it, I think it's probably the right thing to do, really. There's no point in deciding to play the playoffs and then for the EFL to say, well, we're not finishing our season, so how do you expect us to take sort of two promotion places or whatever? So yeah, that looks like the right decision, really, although the wait goes on, which obviously might favour some clubs who can start sort of restructuring their squads and players and perhaps look at signing others, whereas the ones who might be involved in the playoffs can't really do that. So sort of an interesting development this week, but the way it goes on, really.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because that point that you make there, it almost puts those people that are in the playoffs at a disadvantage now, because this is going on so long. And we see across Europe that there's higher up levels of football are going to start to get back underway as well. That's going to put further pressure on people. Yeah, again, depending on government regulations and how social distancing can work. But I've seen various debates again on social media this week, you know, people discussing whether non-league clubs could play behind closed doors. And I think, you know, those that just go and watch, that aren't necessarily involved behind the scenes at their football club, need to understand that the cost just to open the doors at a football club, thankfully, you know, hopefully we wouldn't have to have any floodlights on, so that's one cost that will be removed. But it's not, although we'd love to see some football, there's the other revenue streams that are so important to the football clubs. They're the things that the football clubs are probably desperate to get hold of.
Yeah, that's right. And like you say, it's an interesting sort of point, really, about how those clubs who might not be involved in the playoffs in a way do have an advantage of sort of what the future holds for them in terms of their squad and players, etc. You know, there was obviously criticism of the FA making an early decision on the lower divisions in non-league, steps 3 to 7. But those clubs have known for quite a while now, really, about what the plan is, I guess, in a sense, for what holds, what the future holds. And it was obviously something that you wrote in your non-league paper column at the time about ending things and having some sort of clarity for the future. And I think maybe some National League clubs are thinking, well, we'd perhaps quite like that too now.
Yeah, it's certainty to a certain level as well, isn't it? Because, you know, no one's certain that we can even get football underway this year. Who knows? You know, fingers crossed something can happen and things will go back to this new normal. Now, obviously, new normal is quite a... It's a buzz phrase at the moment, but it does seem that there's certainly a couple of clubs have been adopting it as a policy. A couple of managerial changes since the last time we spoke. Anyway, Michael Nelson at Blyth Spartans at the end of last week, he steadied the ship at the end of the season before football was suspended. And he's got a good pedigree in non-league, notably, I recall, at Hartlepool United. But should be a nice, solid appointment for Blyth Spartans and he might now be able to put some plans in place for whenever football gets back underway.
Yeah, that's right. As you say, former Hartlepool defender, he'd been at the club under Lee Clark, but had taken over things following his departure. And yeah, he's started forming some sort of plan for next season. Chris Thackeray has stayed on. We had a quite nice feature, if I say so myself, with him last week in the paper, talking about his time in Italy and playing in Serie B and things like that. Rhys Evans has also committed his future as well to the club. So there's some initial sort of foundations going in there, and we'll see how they get on next season. Obviously, with no relegation from step two, they'll be at National League North level again, so a second chance for them.
Yeah, and another club looking, recruiting from within. I guess at the moment it's almost impossible to recruit from outside because interviewing a manager, I'm sure a chairman likes to see the, or certainly has a firm handshake with a potential new manager. So Stuart Nethercott is in at the Heybridge Swifts, another permanent appointment from someone that was an assistant last term, but he's got managerial experience at Ware, at Morden. I think it was part of Cockleshaw as well, wasn't he? As part of the coaching staff there in the early days. And obviously a great professional playing career as any Tottenham supporter like myself will remember.
Yeah, that's right. Heybridge has sort of had a few managers over the years, but all who have had success. Obviously, previously they had Julian Dix and before that Jody Brown, both of whom had good seasons at the level. Under Jody Brown, got to the FA Cup first round, also had a good trophy run and got to the playoffs as well. Then under Julian Dix, they won the playoffs, but weren't allowed to go up on the controversial points per game basis that we saw as part of the restructure. And then obviously this season again they've been right in the promotion mix too, so they've been getting it right, and we'll see whether this is another good appointment for them.
Some brilliant stats there, and what a great non-league memory you have, David Richardson, as well. This is the thing where people are. There's lots of debate going on about should it be points per game? Should the season have been voided? And all that. There's controversy every summer in non-league game, as you mentioned there with Heybridge and the points per game in previous seasons.
Saying that, it almost seemed like quite a long time ago we were having that discussion about only five of the playoff winners of the seven being promoted into step three. I never quite understood why that was the method in the end, really. But there you go. I guess a sort of usual sort of strange sort of antics that happen in non-league. And coincidentally, we've actually spoken to Julian Dix this week for a piece in Sunday's paper, sort of talking about that. And he says how he's still not over it, but also finding about how he's been getting on at West Brom as part of their coaching staff.
Yeah, a great example of maybe not getting the plaudits in non-league, but he certainly had a number of jobs in the professional game at the coaching level, where he's put to use that non-league experience he's gained there. So I really look forward to reading that article. And I remember speaking to Julian in the fallout of that, the points per game stuff. It wasn't a happy man at the time. And as you say, he's probably still not over it.
No, he certainly isn't, and to be honest, I don't really blame him.
Indeed. So, we know we've got something to read about Julian Dix at the weekend. What else can we expect to read in a bank holiday weekend paper? We should have been reporting on the playoffs. So, how are you going to be filling the pages and keeping us entertained on Sunday morning?
Yeah, that's right. Good mention about the playoffs there. I actually turned over the week in my diary and saw it was the National League North and South playoffs on Saturday, and then the Wembley playoff final on Sunday. And I sort of quickly scribbled them out, really, to not make myself more upset about how we're not having football at the moment. But anyway, another packed edition in the non-league paper. We're still sort of wrapping it up at the moment, but we've got a nice feature in there about Woking's glory days of the 90s, looking back, talking to a lot of their heroes at that time, Clive Walker. I'm sure you'll remember Tim, who came down to Kingfield.
I do remember.
And really sort of shone in non-league at the time. And we've got all the latest news from across the levels right down to steps 5 and 6. So there's plenty in there for everyone, and any support that people can give the paper is gratefully received. It's obviously available as a digital edition as well. So you don't have to go out and pick one up. You can just get it straight to your phone or your tablet or computer.
And considering that we're supposed to have some lovely weather over the bank holiday weekend, that's probably a better thing for most as well. You can just nurse that hangover while you read the non-league paper on your tablet in bed. Interesting you mentioned about the playoff finals and things. A discussion that's come up this week about programs. You mentioned Woking. I've seen plenty of ex-players posting on various Facebook groups, old program notes and old pictures from programs and things like that. Maybe one of the things I hope that comes from our learnings from the current situation that non-league finds itself in is the importance of a physical program. I know a lot of people love e-programs, but I couldn't imagine many people sitting down in the weeks that we're enjoying at the moment, thumbing through some PDFs on a PC. But it does seem to be so much joy in people getting their Browning programs out and scanning them in, or taking photos and sticking them up on the internet. So, and I do wonder, maybe this we should ask the FA how far they got. Have any of these programs been partially created so far? Because some of that content would have been created in many months in advance. This could be stuff that non-league fans could be reading at the moment, as well as the non-league paper. And we're all clambering for more information and more knowledge about the non-league game. Maybe there's stuff that just sat on a shelf that we might never see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the planning for programs, as many program editors will tell you, always comes weeks in advance, and that would be no different for those playoff games that would have been coming up. Obviously, the National League ones, we don't know who would have been creating those programs, but certainly the one for the final at Wembley, which always holds some great sort of nostalgia pieces and a look back across the season. I'm sure that was very much in the pipeline and ready to go. So, maybe the league will release some of that material and we can read about it and have a bit more content and something else to do.
And who knows, in years to come, you could well be the pundit that they call upon to talk about the season that never was.
Absolutely. The season that never was.
The season that never was. It sounds like a book title already. David Richardson, we look forward to reading Sunday's non-league paper. Thank you as ever for joining us and keep safe.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it for this week then. Thank you to Dave and David for joining me. Thanks to everybody for listening. But hopefully a slightly fuller programme next week. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season. Join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's at DaveAnderson78. Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker. And myself at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. Plus, find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites. And you'll also find the first set of episodes for the Non-League Gaffer Tapes there too. Hopefully coming to some new episodes coming to you very soon. Stay safe, stay home. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.